Oh, you know what that music means. It's time for us to talk with Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville. A lot of Knoxville was here on Thursday's Music City Bowl, the Transperfect Music City Bowl. That was a crazy, wild, and wacky overtime finish. Purdue, 48-45 winners. Let me just start off by saying this, Vince. Thank you so much for coming on to start the final hour at Nissan Stadium and throwing out that little first quarter nugget. Chase and I really appreciate you.
You are welcome.
If you know what I mean, wink, wink.
Yes, absolutely. That one was easy. Figuring out what the heck was going to happen the rest of the time.
Not so much. I know your feelings. You're shocked. You felt like Tennessee should handle them. It looked like they were going to. It looked like the game was going to play out exactly like you had described all week with us, up 21-7 after the first quarter. But quite honestly, that was it. That first quarter stat that you threw out at us and how good the Vols have been in the first quarter played out. The problem is it didn't play out for the next three quarters, and it ended up costing them the game.
Yeah, being a high-scoring game, you know, that played out also. Yep. You know, there were some more late scratches for both sides, and Purdue did a better job of overcoming their guys that they missed than Tennessee did. Tennessee had three corners that they were down, and it really showed Purdue has better depth at wide receiver against Tennessee's, you know, lack of depth at corner. They had a freshman in Deshaun Rucker that was called into action. He's barely played all year. He was beat several times. They had to move. It got to the point where they had to move their starting star, Theo Jackson, out to outside corner, and then his backup, DeNico Slaughter, who's played more, went into his star spot. So that's how they had to adjust during. But, you know, we kind of heard from Jeff Brohm that he felt good about, you know, the depth of guys at wide receiver, T.J. Sheffield from Nashville and Brock Thompson. They had a number of tight ends, were very effective. And, look, game kind of wore on Tennessee after a while. But, you know, Purdue did a terrific job. O'Connell was, for the most part, he was pretty accurate. And also, I think a big factor in the game was, even though Hendon Hooker's numbers, you know, when it's all said and done, were really impressive, he had a stretch there.
Man, he missed. He missed. Oof,
yeah.
He missed.
He missed. He missed deep throws.
He could not. Even later, I mean, how many deep throws, honestly? It's just like, man, and not even close. It's like, whoa.
Right. Yeah, four or five. You know, they had a stretch after the 21-point first quarter where they went 10 possessions and totaled 10 points. And that's after they were just humming and absolutely, you know, dominant out of the gate. So that's where really things got away from them, because it gave Purdue the juice. And then the turnover at the end of the first half that Purdue was able to convert on. So they took that momentum going in. Another thing that happened was, that's been happening all year for Tennessee, is they've been very good on the first possession offensively out of the half. They scored another touchdown. That's seven touchdowns in 13 games on the opening possession of the second half. Eight total scores with a field goal as well. That's really good. Shows good response and adjustments. Problem is that oftentimes when we've seen that, that's where it ends. And then it goes cold again for a stretch. And it really didn't heat back up until the craziness of the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and then overtime. And, you know, obviously the play there at the end was what everybody's talking about. And it was right in front of me.
Okay, so let's get to it. Let's not waste any time, because we know your time is limited and we got a lot of ground to cover. So what do you make of, you know, what sent Twitter into orbit from Tennessee fans? Well, people watch. I mean, Music City Bowl was trending, which Transperfect had to have just been drooling that, you know, they're now the new sponsor, and that's what was trending on Twitter on Thursday was the Music City Bowl.
Yeah, the Music City Bowl loved it, and they, you know, they had a packed house, they're getting all this attention, and they're feeling like, hey, we want Tennessee every year. Tennessee's feeling like, and especially their fans are like, I don't ever want to go to that bowl again. I can't tell you how many fans. Is,
I know. How many like, times it ends in just chaos.
So here's the deal on the play. it was botched in a lot of ways by the officials. He was never down. He crossed the ball over the goal line. I had a great view of it. I was inside the 10-yard line. The official didn't run in. He definitely didn't blow his whistle before the play, but he didn't really start running in and waving the play off until Wright had already reached across the goal line. They ruled that his forward progress was stopped. And if you recall, forward progress was the call on the Matt Corral fumble that would have been a scoop and score against Ole Miss when Corral had that fake where he rolled, he faked the handoff and he just kind of had the football at his hip and he didn't do anything. And they ruled forward progress when he was just standing there with the ball. What are you supposed to do? They took it away from him, returned it, and they said no, forward progress has stopped. And he could have been play action out of that. So Tennessee fans have heard their fair share of forward progress that is frustrating with him. And so it was botched in a lot of ways. One, they didn't let the play out. They called the forward progress too quickly in their mind. But it's not the whistle. That is one factor, and that can end it. But forward progress can be whenever the official arbitrarily determines he stopped, he ended the play based on forward progress. Didn't have to be waving it off. Didn't have to be the whistle. It's whenever he said so, which is terrible. So he hadn't waved it off. He hadn't blown the whistle before progress was stopped because the official said so. So that's one aspect of it that stinks. Another part of it is they went to replay. Forward progress is not reviewable.
Nope.
And then, so they went
to replay.
I'm sure
they were told that when they got there. They're like, guys, you can't be, this is not reviewable. What are you doing?
So then they botched it again, Darren,
yep,
by announcing that the call was confirmed.
Right. which we know it was not. They were told, hey, Dodo Brains, you can't be reviewing this.
So you
can't reverse this. You're stuck.
Right. It's not confirmed or stands. It's not replayed. So then Tom Hart later that night puts out, he was calling the game on the SEC Network, as you guys know, or on ESPN. He says that he's been told that oftentimes they will go to replay sort of for perception standpoint.
Yeah.
Which to me adds many more layers of questions. Like,
right,
why are they doing that? So it was botched in so many ways, and you often see them let those plays play out and go at the goal line, especially. There's several plays in the game that they let go, but at the goal line, you see them continue to let the plays go and
as
not be too quick
should
to stop for progress. Yes,
as they should.
And the
game is on the line.
The official had a great view of it, Darren. He should have seen that he was on top of the defender. So it was botched in a lot of ways. Look, there's no guarantee that Tennessee wins that game. You know, the whole robbed thing, the game was stolen from us, all that kind of stuff. They score a touchdown, it makes it more difficult on Purdue, but it doesn't guarantee you make the PAT. It doesn't guarantee that you can stop them. It could go into three overtimes after that. It's not. That's the game right there. You get in, you win, you don't, you lose. There was still more that had to play out after that, but it was awful. And, a lot of things you can point to in that game prior to not put you in that situation, but it was just botched.
That's not how it works.
Sure.
Like, I get all that, but that's also games sometimes come down to a play. Like, so it's not fair to say, well, yeah, but other things could have changed. Yeah, we get that, but sometimes games come down to a play. So let's stop there for a second. Did you agree with Josh Heupel going for it, or do you think they should have kicked the field goal? Because let me throw this out to you, because you've been watching them all year up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Vince, they're a big play team. Big play strikes are great, right? Off the charts. Fast, mm-hmm, we know. One of the best, fastest offenses in the country. Short yardage, not so much. For whatever reason, they're not a good short yardage team. I don't know why that is, but they have struggled in short yardage plays. So with that being said, should he have kicked the field goal? Because if you don't get it, which is how it played out, basically, I know it's not 100%, the game is over. like you're going to lose probably. I mean, you just are. Like, if you don't get it, you're probably going to lose the game because all the pressure is now off Purdue and all the pressure's on you. So did you like the call?
Yes, you're right. They've been terrible in those short yardage situations. I probably would have because you were so close. So I was okay with it. They went short yardage with extra bigs. The big defensive lineman they brought in, Amari Thomas, he didn't know who to block. He ran into another offensive lineman. I don't know if they weren't prepared for it. That's just one of those things where you go in a different formation than normal. How do you feel about those guys executing it? And they didn't. So if you feel good about your play, then yeah, I think you go for it. Here's what Josh Heupel was thinking. We're not stopping anybody. So that, and he went for it on fourth and two earlier in the drive. And so I knew he was going to go for it. But he should have probably gone for three the first time. That's where I have the bigger question. But he did not, and they got down there, and then I wasn't surprised they did it again. But I actually had maybe more of a problem with trying the long field goal at the end of regulation versus some sort of Hail Mary because I don't, with the wet turf, I don't think he's making that.
Field conditions, Tennessee didn't love the field conditions, did they?
No, and they immediately were resodding it after the game. I mean, it was wet. I went down there. I told you guys, I went down there beforehand. It was drenched before the game, so guys were slipping everywhere. They weren't crazy about it.
Which is another reason, to your point. If they know that, why would you attempt that, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Because their special teams coordinator, Mike Eckler, said he had full confidence he could do it. He hasn't made any kicks or even attempted any that long, I don't think. He just felt, well, he had the look in his eye, and all of Mike Eckler felt good about it when Heupel was asked about it. But I just don't think it's a high percentage play. And why Purdue didn't put somebody back there to try to return that when it was short, I don't understand that either. But you can go on and on with that kind of stuff.
And I could keep going on and on about this, but I know we got to keep moving. So I do want to ask you. And I get it. This is not a Music City Bowl problem. This is not a Purdue-Tennessee problem. This is an epidemic in really football, period. Like, it's not even just college football thing. It's an NFL thing, too. We don't talk about it as much, but don't think that the NFL doesn't do this, too. But college football is the habitual offenders to the fake injuries. And that was playing out. You know it was, right? I mean, come on. You know that was a part of that game. Now, was Tennessee doing it too? They were, but were they doing it to the degree of Purdue? We know the answer is absolutely not. What can and do you think college football is ever going to address this and try to do something to change this? Because it's not good for the game.
Yeah. They absolutely will do something before next year.
You Steve believe Shaw, that? You really believe that? Okay,
yes.
Why?
Steve Shaw was on our station Friday afternoon on Sports Talk, and he said, when he was asked about this, he said there will be some sort of rule in place with teeth about this rule because he said, quote,
really?
It's a bad look. Yes. So this will be addressed to some degree, and that's Steve Shaw, the head of officiating, saying that. So for him to come out and make that kind of statement, you know it's been something that's been bothering them and they're not going to stand for. Saw them move quickly on the Kenny Pickett fake slide thing. You will see that in place. Another thing that he said is back to the forward progress deal. He said that they are looking at forward progress also, and there could be something from that standpoint to be able to review forward progress, which that would be so Tennessee of the NCAA because remember
after the fact.
North Carolina game. So yeah, Tennessee always involved in changing rules in college football after the fact when they go and get the wrong end of it at the Music City Bowl.
You know what? Why I was so mad, and I'm not mad because I'm saying this in jest and having fun with it.
Frustrated.
Like I had to leave. Unfortunately, I had to leave because the Predators were playing, and I got work to do. So I had to leave. And that's fine, but I just laughed to myself that night when all this chaos was, because I'm like, man, I should be on the sidelines with Vince, because I can only imagine the looks that he would be giving me, considering we were on the sidelines together in 2010 in the North Carolina game. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, Vince would probably have said to me, I will never stand on the sidelines with you during a Tennessee Music City Bowl game ever again.
Trust me, Darren, I thought about you when I was on the sideline from like, I was down there with like all the chaos. When I got down there like 5 minutes ago, that's when everybody was throwing deep touchdowns and changing those 14 points at the end. And then they overtime. I was down there for all of that craziness. And I kept looking to my left and right. I'm like, where's Darren? He should be here. And having to sit through this like he did against North Carolina in the Music City Bowl. Yeah, work, Predators. Yeah, excuse.
I mean, you know, gosh, I just was shaking my head going, holy crap, here we go again. Here comes the So I want to go back real quick. And I know, like I said, I cut me off because I know you've got another interview. And so I'm just going to – but we'll try to wrap this up. So you really believe – so what can they do? Like, this has been going on for so long, so why now? And what can they do? Like, what's the right way to – how do you handle this? Because how do you truly know? Because here's what's going to happen. The first time an official goes, you're faking it. I'm flagging you. And they're going to find out, hey, just so you know, Dodo Brains, he had a torn ACL. Or what – you know what I mean? Something – and they're going to be like – then a fan base is going to go and a school is going to go absolutely bonkers. And so you penalized us, and this guy was really hurt. So how do you get around this? What do you do?
I think you're talking about one, multiple plays for the person that goes down. Because let's be honest, what happens, and we see it all the time. I've seen it in my own eyes. Cameras have seen it.
Misses one play back in.
Right, one play and back in. And, and guys that are, like, limping, they tell them, go down instead of trying to limp off the sidelines. I've seen that dozens of times. So it would put an end to that. So I think you're talking about that player being out multiple plays, maybe three. Some people have suggested an entire series.
How about a series?
Yeah, I think two series is too. I think it's too significant.
No, I'm saying just a series, like a drive. Like basically, like if you do this, you realize you're out for this series. Like you're not coming back in during this series.
But to your point, what if it's a legitimate injury? So
I mean, but how many of these, like how many are and how many aren't, right? I mean, when you start playing the numbers game, don't you think it's like 8 or 9 out of 10 times it's not?
Right. Well, okay, and here's another aspect of it. If you do go down, you can only substitute for the player that comes out of the game. Because what teams are doing is they're using that to make mass personnel changes while a player goes down for injury. So one guy fakes an injury, goes down, he comes off the field, he is replaced, and then four other guys get to come in fresh as well when everybody's gassed. So I think that'll be another thing, is only when somebody gets injured, only the player that goes down can be replaced. And I don't think they'll go as far as the entire series, but I do think they will have multiple plays, and it could be a stage thing where, you know, let's not go too over the top and then have to bring it back. Let's kind of ease into it, see how it works, see what the drawbacks are, and then we can move from there. So I that's where I would think the two big aspects of it in the execution of that type of rule change.
And the other one to me is just common sense. Like, one, know the situation. It's fourth and goal. It's the game is on the line. Like, who are you to judge when the play is done, when he's not down? He's still pushing for – he's still – I get it. He's also got a player grab it. Because I had a lot of people – can a player – like, have you watched a quarterback sneak? Have you seen how many guys for his team pushes him into the end zone or pulls him into the end zone like all the time? Like the answer is, of course you can do that. We see it play out all the time. To me, the other one is really easy. Like, don't blow your whistle till you know, like, you for sure, 100%, like that play is done and it's over. Forward progress is over, right? To me, it's a much easier fix than the other one. I think the other one's got some challenges. Both need to be fixed, but the second one to me is a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. They'll do something for sure.
Okay. By the way, on the way out, Mark on Twitter says, just tuning in, wanted to know if has anyone brought up that I guess that referee for the Music City Bowl, that I guess the head official is who he's talking about, was also the one in charge of the Miami Duke game from 2015?
I did know that. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's been others that people have pointed out that have been botched calls through the years since then that crew was a part of. So,
shocking.
Yeah, it wasn't well officiated in much more than what we discussed. So,
yeah.
And by the way, Cade Mays going to the NFL. No, that was another big note besides the game. So
we did it. We did it. We crammed it all in. Tell your next interview. Sorry if I kept you a little bit long, but thanks for starting off the new year right, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, happy new year. Always great to talk to you guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville. Whew, we had a lot to get into, and we can continue the discussion on the other side. But right now, I'm going to talk to you about Kurashion CBD. You hear me talk about them every day. Why? Because they present our show. They're kind of important. They're kind of a big deal on this show, and they're a big deal in our house because there's probably a lot of you that deal with aches and pains on your body. I know I do. Even my wife has been experiencing a lot of shoulder and back pain lately. And you know what? We've turned to Kurashion CBD to help us out. My knees have been killing me. My lower back have been killing me lately, and I don't know why. I guess it's just part of life, right? And I've been searching for a solution. I've already found it. Maybe you're searching for a solution. Well, you can find it with Kurashion CBD. Kurashion means healing, and that right there says a lot. Plus, it is locally and organically sourced right here in Middle Tennessee, from seed to final cell. And Kurashion is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use and for your pets, too. You know, you've heard me tell my story. You may have an aging, you know, dog that has a hard time getting around. Maybe you've got a dog that is just getting old and, boy, they're walking around like you these days. Well, they can help you with their pet tincture. They've also got products like pet treats that can calm them down. Maybe they have high anxiety. Maybe they get crushed whenever storms are just around the corner. We had a lot of storms over the weekend, and they freak out. Well, they can help you in that category too. Do me a favor. Whenever you place that order at KurashionCompany.com, make sure before checkout or at checkout, you put in the code DDC25. When you do that, you'll get 25% off your order. It's Kurashion CBD, curated for life. Special thanks to Vince Ferrara for joining us. Good stuff from him, as always. He's typically noon, but a lot of times this year he's been moved because Mike Vrabel has been consistently talking at noon this season. So happy to squeeze him in and talk about that crazy, wild, and wacky Music City Bowl that was in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and OT. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe with you, Elijah Campbell at the Hillside Medical Game Studio, manning the board, and we appreciate his hard work. Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders texted me and said he would have kicked the field goal. He wanted to weigh in. He was listening to the segment, enjoyed it, and said he would have kicked the field goal. We haven't had a chance to break it down. We haven't had a chance to talk about it at all. By the way, great crowd, great atmosphere, great weather that day. I mean, it was perfect.
It was.
Other than the craziness that would ensue. So, I just told you, I personally would have kicked it. I just kind of laid out my reasons with Vince. For whatever reason, well, Tennessee has had success on offense this year. They operate at a high pace, one of the quickest offenses in the country. They stretch the field. They've done that all year. But not so much in short yardage situations, and I don't know why. But they have not been very good in short yardage. I don't know why, but that's just the way it's played out this season. And two, if you don't, and I know you're going into the mentality of, well, we're going for it because we believe we're going to get it. And I understand that. That's the mentality you have to have. But if you don't, to me, game over. You're not winning the bowl game. You're not. All the pressure is off Purdue. And they know, that, to me, they know they're going to win because either they're going to kick a field goal or they're going to score, and they're going to beat you. And to me, you don't want to have that. You have to apply some type of pressure on them. And if you don't make it, to me, it's game over. That was my feelings at the time. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd kick it. I mean, I kind of felt that way at the time, that just feels like the best bet of you go and you take the points in that situation. But I certainly can understand, you know, both ways of thinking of why you would try and go for it and why you wouldn't. But for me personally, I would rather take the points, especially with the way that game, you know, had gone. And looking at things as a whole, you know, 128 yards of penalties, that obviously hurts you. You give up chunk plays with a 70-yarder, a 62-yarder. You can't do that and expect to win a football game, bowl game or not. So you have to weigh all of that of just how it's all gone. You take points, but that's what I would have done. I would have kicked it. So we're,
that,
I think
that's
we're on
not
the same
my
page.
Reaction. People listen to the show. You know me. Know
no,
me
that's
right
usually
I don't,
not
I don't
your reaction.
React. I don't react like afterwards. I'm not giving you my reaction afterwards. I'm giving you my true reaction of what I was thinking at the time. Like, it's easy. Like, hindsight, we are all geniuses in hindsight, right? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, how phony is that? At the time, I'm like, I get it. It's tough. This is a tough decision. Cincinnati, Kansas City. I get it. Patrick Mahomes, it's the Chiefs offense. I'm kicking the field goal yesterday. Zach Taylor was going for it. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
What? Like, okay, I get it. If you don't get it, they're at the half-yard line. But there's still like a minute and a half to go, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And all they'll need at that point is a – like, I'm kicking the field goal. Like, I'm all for going for it. But it's got to be right. It's got to be the right situation. Cincinnati, I didn't understand. Like, it ended up being – it played out for them after five tries, and the penalty on – Kansas City gave them first and goal from the half-yard line, and all they had to do was take a kneel down, run the clock down to 2 seconds, and then you kick the field goal. Okay, I get that. Like, the decision was made for them. But how about the other three attempts where they were still going for it when they could have kicked the field goal? I didn't understand that yesterday, and I at the time, I'm like, yeah, you got to put some type of pressure on Purdue. Because you do have to factor in while you're going for it to say we're getting the touchdown. You're trying to make a statement. Okay, that's fine. But you have to factor in if you don't get it, now to me, the game is over. You're not going to win this game. And they didn't get it. And the game was over. They lost. That was my thinking.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. I mean, you have to – in that situation, I think you have to guarantee – or best you can guarantee yourself some points and then leave it in the hands of your defense, and they didn't do it. And they lost. And, you know, I don't think there's going to be a huge hangover from a bowl loss, but still, with all the expectations with Tennessee going into that game, it's very disappointing that they come away with a loss. And
a massive crowd.
A massive crowd.
Great crowd.
Record attendance at Nissan Stadium for the Music City Bowl. I mean, all those things. And you go out and you – I'm not going to say lay an egg, but you lose a game. You know, you go
it's
and lose
It's not laying an egg. It's losing a game you should have lost. Like you,
right. You should have won that
beat
game.
That, right. You got to beat that Purdue team that was severely undermanned. Like, you got to beat them. You just do. I saw no scenario where they're going to lose. Remember when we were talking about it, I didn't say, like, it's got to be in blowout fashion.
Yeah.
I didn't say – and I made a point to say that. I'm not saying Tennessee has to blow out Purdue. I'm saying they have to win this game.
I thought they'd cover.
Like,
I
you thought, have I've, to send this crowd home very, very happy with a win.
Yeah, I thought that 7.5, you know, felt like they would cover that. I thought they'd win by 10. You know, and early on, it looked like that was probably going to be how it was. You know,
They were up and in control.
But,
and then
you
things,
know.
Second quarter was not good.
Well, in credit to Vince, because Vince did say
told
that
it, yep.
Tennessee was very good in the first quarter, but
and
Purdue
all
had better.
In the second.
Yep. And
yep.
he called it. So, but.
And he said Purdue was bad in the first and
yep,
good, in the,
good
second.
In the second.
And
so
that's how it played out.
It all played out exactly how Vince. I told him, I said, you have a future in Vegas if you want it. So. you seem to know these things.
Well, it's just stats.
I mean, right.
That's what stats were telling us. The stats were telling us all year through 12 games. Tennessee was an explosive team in the first quarter, and then it would drop off massively in the second quarter. And the stats were telling us Purdue stinks in the first quarter, and they get much better in the second quarter.
Yep.
Why those things happen, I don't know. I can't explain that, but they are. Now, let's get to the rule changes. They've got to address this stuff. They do. And I know this has been going on for a long time, but to me, it's reached the point of no return. Like, please, for the love of everything that is college football, please change this rule. And I know it's not easy because you're asking officials to predict whether somebody's hurt or not. And I understand that's dangerous territory, right? That's a dangerous place to be. Who are you to tell somebody whether they're hurt or not? But 8 or 9 times out of 10 times, they are faking these injuries.
Right.
Yes, sometimes they're legit. But 8 or 9 times out of 10, they're faking. You got to do something about that. And remember, how many times did I reference at Nissan Stadium? Don't worry. ESPN 102.5 The Game is carrying the Tennessee-Purdue game, but we will be breaking away because yep. I'll have pregame for you at 5. There's no way this game's getting over in 3 hours. No chance. And it went, what, 4.5? I don't remember the exact time.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Jared and I were sitting waiting to do postgame and laughing because Jared said, yeah, Floyd would have gone home by now. Floyd would have said, forget this. I'm doing the postgame from home. I mean, it was getting to that point. But, yeah, I mean, it's because of that. So how do you fix it is the question, and there's not a good answer for it because, like you said, you know, if you're an official and you look at a kid rolling around writhing in pain and say, oh, you're faking it, and then the x-rays come out that he snapped his ankle in two,
right?
Then, you know, what
– But you could probably see that. Like, it's – breaking bones, you know, like,
yeah,
Michael
true.
Pruitt.
Like Michael Pruitt, like you could, yeah, no, like, that's okay. Legit. Yeah.
Like you take one look and go, oh my gosh, okay, yep, take as much time as you need. Do what you need to do. But you know, all these guys that they're limping and then they fall down and, you know, and then all of a sudden they're running back in there the next play. That's typically how it plays out. So how do you get around that? Like, how do you fix that in college football? Well, like I said, it's not just a college football. Don't think for a minute it's not happening. It has been happening in the NFL for a long time. They just don't make it as obvious, right? They just don't do it as much as they do in college. Like college, it's really bad because outside of the Big Ten, although Purdue and Ohio State, they, you know, they like to score a lot of points, but they're, you know, most teams now in Division I college football, they all are up tempo, right? And it's RPO and it's fast, you know, they're not all created equally. But that's kind of where the game is today. So there's a lot of defenses that are like, yeah, we're tired and we need a break and we don't want to waste any timeouts. So here goes. And
well, I
Purdue
think you get
and
to
Tennessee
a...
were both doing it. Purdue was doing it way more than Tennessee. We know.
Well, I mean, maybe there's some sort of rule you put in place, kind of like the NFL. You know, if it's under 2 minutes and there's an injury, you have to burn a timeout or it's a runoff. They do, I guess, a 10-second runoff for the clock. So I think that certainly needs to be looked at. And if it's at earlier points in the game, like if there's a, you know, consecutive, like if you have, whether it's two consecutive plays or within the same series, you have multiple guys that are down, do you take a timeout? You know, do you take a timeout away or something like that? Again, you're in a gray area because what if they're legitimately hurt? You know, that's the problem, that when you try and do things like that, even though we all know this is happening, you're still going to go back to, well, what if it's legit? And you're taking a timeout and you're punishing a team because they just had two guys get hurt. You know, that's the problem. But they do need to figure something out. Like, this is one of those, well, you got to do something. What? I don't know, but do something.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like.
My suggestion, and I know this one's not going to be easy. Two plays, still not enough. Like, you have to make them reconsider or get out of this train of thought, get out of their habits, right? Because this is now habit forming for teams and defenses. This is what they do. This is a part of their game plan. When in doubt, whenever you're getting tired, you're wearing down, especially in the second half, these up-tempo offenses are, you know, wearing you down, then, you know, we got to start dropping like flies and slow this thing down. What do you do? my suggestion, and this is, I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't believe a play is clearly not a deterrent. Two plays is not a deterrent. To me, make it for the series. Okay, you leave. You need attention on the field. You're down. The staff comes out there. You're out for the series. You're out until this series is over. That would, to me, serve as I don't believe in two series, a series. Like, okay, you're out until this drive is over. Whatever happens, you know, however this drive ends, you're out until the next series. So that's, to me, the only one that kind of is the only one that really makes sense as really serving as a deterrent. Do you want to take yourself out of the drive? Like, you want to take yourself out of this series. Like, you're not coming back in on this series if you go down.
Yeah, and if you're a coach, you know you're going to yell and say, nope.
If that were the case, now you're going to really start selecting, like, okay, I've got to rank my guys 1 through 11 in importance.
Yeah.
And the guy who's ranked 11th, I'm screaming for him to go down.
Right.
Right? Like, you're going to start now picking the guys you in your order that are at least, you know, lesser importance of other guys. Like, your important guys, you're not going to tell them to go down.
It's like picking the guy to serve the penalty on hockey. Like, if you get, like, a bench minor, you know, you picking the guy that's going to go serve it. You know, something like that. Taylor says, have the team go down a man like in soccer, so 11 versus 10.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. I don't think you can do that.
I think there's a little bit of a player safety thing there, too.
Yeah, this is not hockey. So I know they do it in hockey, but I don't think soccer is what he was referencing.
Like,
you're right. Soccer
if somebody gets hurt and they're not subbed out, they do come to the sideline, and so they just play with 10 until they either sub them that player out or the player comes back.
Yeah. So you got two sports that will allow play to continue down a man. I don't think football needs to be one of them, because you're right. There is a safety issue, but and also just that's a big deal, don't you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that.
That may be taking it a little bit too far. I think though, telling them you're out for the whole series is fair enough. I think it makes them think a lot. They think about it a lot more if that's the case. But I don't know what they're going to come up with. I was surprised to hear Vince say he believes absolutely they're changing the rule. Because it's been around for so long, and we've been bellyaching about it for so long. I'm just wondering why now? What was the straw? You know, why is it
right?
Why is it at that? I feel like we've been at that point for years. Why now? I hope he's right. I hope that they do change it, because it needs to be changed. All right, we'll come back and talk about some things that Mike Vrabel said, including that the buzz, it's out there. People are feeling good about Derrick Henry coming back. Mike Vrabel addressed that. Plus, there is stuff out there. The Titans have addressed the Bud Dupree situation with at least a comment or a statement from – not a comment, it's really a statement from the organization. We'll talk about all that to close up shop here on this Monday. But first, Chase, you're going to tell us about BetMGM.
Yes, I am. BetMGM, you know, they're the king of sportsbooks. And they welcome you with the lock of the year. It's on tonight's game. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Cleveland or Pittsburgh. If either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy football like never before and earn M-Life rewards that you can redeem for rooms at dining and at MGM resorts nationwide. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that bonus code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if either Cleveland or Pittsburgh scores a touchdown. Just visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Getting a lot of reaction on Twitter from our conversation. Mark on Twitter says, all the coaches will do is send in a third stringer to go down. Well, that may be the case. I mean, there may be no true way to get around it. I understand that. Coaches will get creative, but still, I mean, you got to do something. I guess the whole point is the way it is, this is not the way to do it. And maybe they will, but you're going to have to deal with a third stringer for a play. I mean, it may bite you. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, there's truly no way to nip it in the bud. Steve on Twitter says, I agree with you, Darren. If a player is truly hurt, they go into the tent and they're usually out the series or even longer. I don't know if I'd go longer than a series. I think a series is enough.
Yeah.
It's enough that could really, you know, it could cost you big time if you're not careful. So,
but I think what he's saying is if they, you know, if they're really hurt, they're probably going to miss the rest of that series anyway. Is kind of how I took that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Nate on Twitter says, how about if the player that's out for the whole series tries to sneak back in, the team is penalized like 15-yard penalty, or that player's automatically ejected? Well, yeah, obviously there'd have to be – there's got to be a rule in place that you can't sneak back in if the rule is you're out for a series. There would have to be some type of extended rule of what happens if you – forget or sneak back in. If you're back on the playing field, then yes, your team or you will get penalized. So I don't imagine that would be an issue. I can't imagine teams actually trying to sneak players back on the playing field when they've been, you know, they've been told you're out for a series. But you know, I guess you never know. But yes, there would have to be something in place. It looks like the Titans are aware of the Bud Dupree situation, and they have put out a statement that they are aware of the situation and they're looking into it. That's about it.
Fair enough.
Just wanted to make that official, I guess.
Yeah. We are aware of the situation and are gathering additional information.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So, yeah, just waiting for more on this because I'm seeing a lot of things on the Twitter about it, but I know several news outlets – Emily Proud was tweeting about it, that they've done some, or they're trying to look into it, see what's going on. Just something to monitor.
Yeah, Vince did text me during the break and said, I forgot to mention that Heupel did say in his post game that one of the officials, this is pretty interesting, this is coming from Vince Ferrara. He texted me during the break and said, I forgot to mention this, and you can certainly pass it along, that Josh Heupel said in postgame that one of the officials told him before the game that he thought they needed to change the rule about faking injuries.
Hmm.
That's interesting that he was willing to go public with that. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's private conversations all the time between head coaches and officials that the head coach doesn't typically go to the podium with. That's interesting that Josh Heupel was willing to say that.
Yeah. I wonder how the official feels about that.
Right.
No, I mean, I that is because there's a lot of stuff that you know, when you get told, you know, you kind of, that's off the record. That's what we call off the record. But it's interesting that he brought it up.
Mike Vrabel today basically telling us that it seems like all systems are go for Derrick Henry. Now, when all systems go, don't know yet, right? I don't know what the time frame is. Me personally, I'm always trying to read the room. I'm always trying to read body language. I'm always trying to figure out what someone's trying to say. I took it as I didn't feel like Derrick Henry's playing Sunday. But Mike Vrabel saying, I know you guys are going to find this stuff out this week. I know this is all going to become official this week. Let's just go on and get past this now. And so he was like, why wait? It's not going to go away. Let me just go on and address it. That basically he's getting back into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like the mix is going to be Sunday. But I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't get that vibe. Did you feel differently?
Or not feel
anything at all?
I don't know if I really feel anything at all. I mean, I think the surefire thing is he's going to be designated to return on Wednesday and he'll return to practice. And I kind of wonder if they're just going to see where he's at and then make that decision. I mean, like I said earlier, I think that he shouldn't play, but I kind of thought that they would go that way. So I don't know if Vrabel's really showing his cards or not. You seem pretty convinced that he's telling you that he's not playing. So I just don't know if I feel that way.
Wouldn't he made it? I'm trying to think back at his words. Did he say that Derrick Henry is going to be a practice on Wednesday?
Do you have it, Elijah? What he said? I know we had it pulled.
Did
earlier.
He say for sure that he will be out there with the team on Wednesday?
No, but I mean, I think he
wouldn't you if he was like if he was back full practice with the team on Wednesday? Wouldn't he just go on and say that now too? Since he's basically.
Yes, because Mike Vrabel always gives you the straight answer.
Yeah.
Here's what he said.
Okay.
You know, it just it's disappointing. We've discussed it. We'll see where that goes. You know, he's doing some work today, and you know, we'll see where that window opens, and probably make a decision midweek.
See what I mean? He threw in that midweek. That's why I was like, did he say that or did he not say that? He threw in midweek. So that we know Wednesday's when everything's going to get. So he's going to talk on Wednesday. And is he telling us that he's going to be back at practice on Wednesday?
He said midweek.
He did say midweek. So I'm
Which I've heard him say midweek before. I mean, he will definitely say that.
I'm against him playing on Sunday, and I don't feel like they will play him on Sunday. But it is going to be a much debated topic all week, whether to play him, not play him, if he does have the ability to play. But I'll say this. I don't know how this week is going to play out. I don't know if the picture is going to become more clear throughout the course of the week. All I know is, and I said it at the beginning of the show, and now that we've heard the press conference a couple hours later, I definitely feel like when I said he's coming back, there's no doubt about it, where we didn't know after the injury, you know, it was very unclear on whether he could make it back or not. It's very clear he is coming back. And then 2 hours later, we've got confirmation. He's coming back. And so the Titans are going to have Derrick Henry for postseason play. That's the news today.
Yep.
They're going to have 22 back in the mix. And why would you not, and we'll be talking about this throughout the course of the week, why would you not think if he's back, then he's truly back? Like, I don't think it's going to be back in limited role. I think it's going to be Derrick Henry, if he's back and cleared to play, which it looks like he's going to be, shouldn't he be the force that we've seen him for the last 2 years?
I would think so. If he's truly ready to go, I would think he's going to be the king.
That's like, the way I look at
it. You're wanting the king, not the prince at this point.
Like, there we go. Well said. It is closing time for today. Enjoy the rest of your snowy Monday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.